Okay, stress, anxiety, so pervasive in our society. We're going to talk about it today in a way what causes it, how to address it. Welcome to Talking with Docs. I'm Dr. Brad Winnie.
I'm Dr. Paul Zalzan. We have a guest here, one of the founding physicians of Optimum Health.
Optimal you.
Optimal me?
It's going to make you optimal, but it's called Optimal You. We're going to put a link in the description how to find her.
Fine.
Dr. Amanda Maroney.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God, thanks for coming. You know, talking with docs, when it's just Brad and I talking, it gets a little mundane. So it's nice to have someone else here, you know what I mean? Because he's all kale, I'm all chicken wing. It's just a battle the whole time.
I feel the tension.
Right? Yeah, there you go.
It's like you cut it with a knife. Speaking of tension.
Yes. So let's start at the beginning, because I think a lot of people don't even know stress, anxiety, isn't it all the same thing? Can we talk about kind of the definition and the differences?
Absolutely. So let's just talk about stress for a minute. You know, stress is, and we've talked about this in one of our previous videos, so you may want to scroll back and you know, rewatch that video if you haven't seen it already. We did on meditation and mindfulness.
Yes.
But stress is actually a normal physiological response,
yes,
right? We have a response in place, and it's meant to protect us. And it's that stress response when we detect danger. You know, we have this cascade of hormones that, you know, put us into this fight or flight mode to keep us out of danger. That's why we don't like walk into traffic or, you know, do other stuff that would, you know, kill us, right? So that stress response.
Climb the fence at the zoo.
Yeah, with the lion on the other side.
Yeah.
Totally, right. So that stress response is meant to keep us alive and safe. And the problem is when we are perceiving things around us as stressful, that same stress response gets triggered. Our brain doesn't know the difference between a real threat, like the lion on the other side of the fence,
right,
or like the boss, you know, who's asking you for, you know, your
deadline.
Your deadline is today, and you know that same
That's
chemical
what Paul does to me.
Right.
Brad.
I can
video
a deadline.
Research this so I don't have to.
So that same response is triggered, the same hormonal cascade. So hormones like cortisol and adrenaline, which are meant to protect us in the short term for these episodic events, stressful events. In the long term, when day to day, hour by hour, we're seeing everything as stressful, we're being bombarded with these stressful messages, and we're interpreting them as stressful, those hormones are chronically released, and we know that it has negative impacts on the body.
Sure.
Right? So we know from the Interheart study, for example, that, you know, chronic perceived stress or chronic stress increases your risk significantly. It's a major risk factor for developing heart disease.
Yep.
We know that, you know, excess cortisol for a long time creates inflammation in the body. Excess cortisol in the body also reduces our body's ability to fight infection.
Yep.
We also know that chronic stress is a significant risk factor for developing, you know, depression and anxiety, and suicidality. And you know, these unfortunate, you know, mental health conditions are rising in society, and it's no wonder, because we are constantly bombarded with messages of doom and gloom.
Okay.
So stress is kind of a short-term response to a very like in time, real, in the moment,
yes,
kind of stressor.
Yes.
Necessary response.
Right.
It's a necessary response.
And then we would say that anxiety is more the fear based around the possibility of a stressful event coming. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yeah, so let's talk about fear versus
okay.
anxiety. So fear is kind of that, it alludes to that stress response. It's a normal, healthy response. It's triggered by our amygdala, this little deep-seated part of our brain. It's a rudimentary part of our brain that existed when we were first developed in cave person times, right? So it keeps us alive, and it's meant to protect us. And we also have a thinking part of our brain called the prefrontal cortex, and it is the planner. It wants to know what's happening and when. So fear is an instant kind of reaction.
Right.
Anxiety happens when fear of an outcome is based with uncertainty whether that outcome is actually going to occur or not. Right, so fear plus uncertainty creates anxiety,
okay,
and anxiety is never protective. It's mitigated by our prefrontal cortex trying to figure out how to fix the problem, and that's what develops. That's what worry comes into play. Worry is what our brains, our prefrontal cortex, our thinking, you know, evolved part of our brain tries to do with this uncomfortable feeling of anxiety, of uncertainty, of fear. And it makes us feel like we're doing something, even though we're not doing much about it.
Okay, so Monday night, I actually experienced this whole
cascade.
Whole cascade.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
So I'm going to share this with you. So if you're a Leaf fan, you can relate. So I was watching Toronto Maple Leafs round two, game one against Florida. Leafs jump out to a 4-1 lead, feeling quite happy.
Everyone's happy.
Not confident, but happy. Then Florida takes out the goalie. So now I'm a little bit stressed because I'm like, oh, what's going to happen with the backup goalie? Toronto's blown some leads in the past.
Florida took out our goalie.
Our goalie's out. Starting goalie's done very well. So I'm stressed about this because of something very real that happened.
Exactly.
Florida scores the second goal. It's 4-2. My stress is in response to another event that's very real in the moment. Now it's 4-3. My stress is really creeping up.
Yeah.
Thankfully, Matthew Nyes gets on a breakaway, makes it 5-3, so my stress goes down. But in my mind, I'm like, what happens now? What if they blow the lead? What if they lose this game and they go on to get knocked out of the playoffs? So that's my anxiety coming in. So what does Florida do? With 2 minutes to go, they score another goal. Now it's 5-4. So now I have stress and anxiety. So I'm stressed because of what's happening, but I'm also anxious because of what could happen and what's happened in the past.
Yeah.
Thankfully, they held on to win. And now we got game two tonight. I can't even deal with it.
Well, maybe you will. By the end of the session, maybe you will.
Okay. So basically, we have fear, worry, anxiety, and stress. And they're all distinct things that are interrelated.
Yes, exactly. And the thing with what we're seeing with this rise of anxiety in, you know, in society is often, unfortunately, mediated by the times that we live in where information is available so quickly. Do you remember the good old days? I'm dating myself, but the good old days when you used to get news in small snippets, either the newspaper or you would see it on the news at 6 p.m. at night, you know, CTV news would come on and you'd watch it. Or you might hear it on the radio. It took days sometimes for something happening across the globe to filter its way into our ears and eyes. That's not the case these days. Now, within seconds sometimes, within minutes, it's all over our...
It might be live even. Absolutely. You might be literally watching the news happen.
Yes. And so when you see these constant, you know, traumatic sometimes experiences, it creates a sense of like fear because you know like the outcome is bad, but also this uncertainty. Is this going to happen to me? Is this going to happen? Is this going to disrupt my life, right? That's why COVID was such a big deal for people because at the very beginning, right, there was a whole lot of fear, right? Because we knew that viruses, this virus was killing, but the uncertainty behind whether or not it was going to wipe us all out or whether or not we're always going to be in, that created the anxiety piece. So you've got fear and anxiety kind of swirling around. And so we have to remember that the news is not necessarily meant to inform us, right?
Wait, what? It's not altruistic and always true?
Yeah, like the news is meant to sell itself to you, the consumer. It's wanting you. There's a saying in the news in the media world, you know, to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. That means it wants to keep you in this state where you're not pandemonium and too panicky, right? That's mass pandemonium.
Then you turn the TV off.
Then you turn the TV off. But it's also keeping you in a place where you're not very comfortable. You got to keep looking. Because what your PFC, what your prefrontal cortex tries to do is it tries to find solutions. And that's what doom scrolling is, right? Doom scrolling is like, I feel anxious about this thing that could happen. I'm going to try. Your prefrontal cortex is like, plan, try to figure it out. And so you're scrolling and scrolling and trying to find out. And you just keep exposing yourself to more trauma, and then that's creating another response and another response that's, you know, mitigated in fear and anxiety. So you know, that's, you know, what we're seeing now. And that's, if you're wondering, why am I so stressed? Why do I feel so uneasy? It's not necessarily your fault, because you're exposed to so much more, and there's so much more happening in the world that creates uncertainty.
I think a lot of people are going to leave comments about news right now and just
fake news.
Yeah, fake news and news that is sort of trying to pass an agenda and whatnot. But all right, we've talked a lot about stress and we and anxiety and how it has measurable harms to your body, which is probably making people who are experiencing stress and anxiety feel worse.
Yes.
So can we talk now about what can you do to mitigate
let's
it?
Let's do that.
How to deal with it?
There is hope, right? Okay. So first of all, the biggest message I can give is to try to remain present in the present, okay? And what I'm going to share with you is an exercise you can do when you feel, you know, the stress and anxiety building up and you don't know what to do with it. And typically what we do, though, is we're reaching for, you know, maybe unhealthy habits to trigger the other deep-seated...
Would you say like a Twix bar?
A Twix bar
listen,
might do it.
I ate half a Twix bar last night.
The mere, I didn't even know you could only eat half.
I thought it was like a rule. I ate one of them, and these guys have not let me forget it. Okay, I was on call. I needed to pick me up because I had to go back to work. I was feeling tired. I'm not going to eat the second half. I'm going to throw it away as soon as I get home.
But it's understandable, right? Because when you eat a Twix bar, you're triggering the other deep-seated pleasure center, right? So that's why people turn to, you know, shopping. They turn to, you know, really high-calorie dense foods. They turn to
alcohol or other substances, gambling, just to
tamper that discomfort that they're feeling. But I would challenge you to try this exercise. Now, I did not invent this exercise. This exercise was, I first learned about it through Dr. Judson Brewer. I have no affiliation with him. I just think he's amazing. He's a psychiatrist in the States. He does a lot of addictions, you know, psychiatry. But he also, you know, discussed how anxiety and worry is a habit loop. Okay. And he says, when you start to have these uncomfortable feelings arise of anxiety or you know, he uses the RAIN acronym, R-A-I-N.
Okay.
So R is to recognize that anxiety is, you know, that you're feeling anxious and then kind of don't try to resist it. That's not the R you want to use. You want to relax into it. Say, you know, okay, I feel, you know, the anxiety is coming on and just don't try to push it away. Don't try to change direction and ignore it. Just sit with it. And it's uncomfortable, but just hang in there. A is to accept that anxiety is arising. And we often say, I am anxious.
Right.
I am scared. I am. And then you are identifying with that emotion. So I have learned that a good way to separate yourself from the emotion that's happening is saying, anxiety is arising. Okay. I am anxious, but anxiety is arising right now.
That George means is getting angry.
This is not good. Worlds are colliding. George is getting upset.
Third person.
Right, but
George
that just
is getting anxious. All right.
So when you say that, this is something outside of yourself that's coming in, but that also means it's going to go at some point. So it's just a subtle shift. But it's a subconscious message to your brain that, hang in there, I got this.
Okay.
So R-A, I is then you're getting investigated. You want to investigate it. Mm-hmm. What that does is it's basically placating your prefrontal cortex because your prefrontal cortex wants to start to do something about that uncomfortable feeling. It wants to plan around. It wants to doom scroll. It wants to do whatever it wants to do. And it's not going to help you. We know that. So in order to placate it, you're gonna start to get objective of what is physically happening in your body, right? So, by the way, if you have experienced trauma, physical trauma, emotional trauma, sexual trauma, this exercise is not for you. This is specifically for generalized, run-of-the-mill stress and anxiety about, you know, what's going on or what's going on in your life or world events. But if you suffer from trauma, this actually exercise can be harmful to you because you need to be, you know, managed with a trained therapist. Sure. So I just want to keep you all safe with this. Sure. But for the generalized anxiety, you want to investigate it. And so that means turning on yourself. Get your, like, detective cap on, you know. Hmm, what's happening in my body right now? Oh, I'm feeling chest tightness. My, you know, I'm feeling a bit more sweaty in my palms, my heart. It's beating a little quicker. Don't judge it. Just get curious about it. This is interesting. Look what's happening. And that basically keeps your prefrontal cortex present in the moment, right? And it prevents it from going offline and starting to get into a worry cycle. And then the last N is note. This continues to keep your prefrontal cortex engaged, so you're going to start to actually write down what it is you're experiencing and what's happening in your body. It doesn't have to be a long paragraph, just a few words. It just keeps you in the moment. And what we know now and what we know about, you know, anxiety attacks or stressful, it peaks and then it comes down. But we always interrupt it when it peaks because we don't like to feel it, and we interrupt it with something that makes us feel better instead of just riding the wave.
Let it run its course. And then the Leafs win 5-4.
And then the Leafs win 5-4.
Well, tonight's a new day.
So the RAIN exercise is very good, but there's also a few other things I do want to mention. Number one, stop doom scrolling. You know, limit, pretend you're in the 1980s when I grew up, and expose yourself to the news once, maybe twice a day, right? You don't want to bury your head in the sand, but like...
But you know what's interesting is that they look at anxiety and stress increasing, and it really very specifically launched with the invention of the smartphone,
yes,
and unlimited data and social media.
Absolutely.
Like it is shocking. Yeah. And
the
younger you are, the higher the rate of increase was. So like boomers are actually not too bad because they don't do a lot of that stuff, right? And then as the generations got younger and younger, it's terrifying.
What about talking with dogs? Are we stressing people out?
I don't think so. Maybe the carnivore and keto and those kind of people, but other than that, no.
We won't go there right now. But like, so limit. You have the control of your devices. So I would take all the news apps off your phone. To be constantly reminded what's going on, it's not going to change anything. It's just going to change what you are perceiving. It's going to increase your stress. And Hans Selye, who was the founder of like the stress response, he's an endocrinologist back in the 1930s, you know, he said it's not the event that's the issue, it's your reaction to it, right? And so remember that if you're not exposing yourself, you're not being bombarded, it's going to help mitigate. So I would stop doom scrolling. And then second, remember there are controllables. You can control what you're watching and consuming. You know, control these controllables. You can control your behaviors, you know, your urge to scroll. Say you have this urge to scroll to figure out, oh my gosh, I just heard about this terrible thing happening across the globe. I got to start to scroll about it. Just set a timer for 5 minutes. Set a timer for 5 minutes. Delay the urge to doom scroll or whatever it is you want to do, and instead insert something that brings you joy and peace, right? Okay. Snuggle your pet, right? I'd say eat a Twix bar, but try to avoid that one.
All right, look, it was just sitting there.
Talk to a trusted friend, right? Phone a friend, you know, go outside, get some sun exposure, right? These are things you can do in the moment to give yourself that 5 minute pause to allow your kind of prefrontal cortex to settle down. So, and the other thing you can control, you can't control what people say, but you can control your response to them and whether or not you choose to respond to them. And I actually love Jefferson Fisher's stuff. I don't know if you've seen, he's just released a book.
I have not.
He actually has these little snippets and he basically says, how do you respond to people who are stressing you out? How do you respond to people who make you angry? And he has this really great kind of three-step thing that he does. I really like that. So you can't control what people are saying, but you can control how you respond to them and whether you choose to associate with those people.
Like taking some of that power away from them.
Yeah. A third thing you can do is find ways to spark joy in your life, right? Connect with people. Social interconnectedness is a pillar of lifestyle medicine, and for a good reason. It releases all these anti-stress hormones, right? Serotonin, oxytocin, these are all relaxing, right? These are the rest and digest hormones that make you feel calm and peace, right? So also find a hobby, things that you may have forgotten about. Spend your time and attention instead of scrolling for an hour. Find, you know, pick up a hobby that you've maybe forgot about that really sparked interest and joy in your life.
It's almost like ignorance is bliss when you're thinking about the scrolling,
absolutely.
Right?
Like,
right? Especially now with the geopolitical situation in the world.
Yeah.
It is, and my phone's getting.
Is there some stuff going on?
I don't know. There's a little bit of stuff going on. And so you're just constantly reminded about it, like you said. Yeah. So the ignorance is bliss, really. Just try and make yourself ignorant of that stuff.
Yeah. And it's the uncertainty behind it, right? Like, you know, people don't think twice about, you spend a lot of time worrying about whether or not I should step in front of a bus because you know that fear response is natural. Like it's when the uncertainty comes into play, like the outcome, like what's going to happen globally? What's going to happen? Is there going to be, you know, what's going to happen in the world? That can create a lot of anxiety. So again, to combat that, the fourth thing is gratitude, right? So setting time aside to think about what you have in the present to keep you grounded, things that are that you're blessed with in your life. And there's always at least one thing you can
even in
of.
The darkest times, I would totally
even in the
agree.
Darkest times?
Whether it's your kids, your family, or your pet, or your job, or living in a free country, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
totally
clothes
agree.
That you're wearing, you know, the fact that, you know, the sun is shining today. Find something that you're grateful for, and I would actually challenge you to write it down. Because when you write it down, it really solidifies things in your brain. And then, you know, meditation, you know, practicing regular meditation. We know that, you know, even something, start with something very small, 10 minutes a day. There's a lot of free apps you can use. You can also just, you know, Google, you know, 10-minute relaxation meditation and then listen to it and allow yourself to just feel the anxiety settle down. But when you do this regularly, even when you're not anxious, there are structural changes that happen in your brain. Your amygdala, that fear center, actually can shrink. Your prefrontal cortex actually gets bigger. Your hippocampus also improves your memory and concentration. So there are physical changes that happen with regular meditation of up to 20 to 30 minutes a day.
And there are a lot of skeptics, and certainly I was one of them, but that didn't help me sleep, actually, to unwind. And honestly, it's wild.
It's a game changer.
Yeah, it really is.
It is.
I'm going to practice gratitude. Thank you.
Gratitude.
Thank you so much for joining us and sharing
all
this
with us.
Yeah, this was amazing. Very helpful. And hopefully our viewers get something out of this.
I hope so. And be well.
So good. And if you're looking for Dr. Moroni, she's part of a group called Optimal You. We'll put a link in the description. It's a lifestyle medicine clinic that helps people make some of these changes.
Yeah, we're just opening up. So we're just accepting self-referral. Just go to our website. There's a little button. You can even chat with one of our team members if you're interested. We'd love to see you there. If this is something that's for you, we focus on prevention through lifestyle measures combined with regular conventional medicine. I am a conventional doctor, but I practice lifestyle too.
And there you go. If you like this video, please like it. Subscribe to our channel. Share it with someone that you think is dealing with a little bit of stress and anxiety, which pretty much means everybody. So share it with everyone in your contact list.
And remember, you are in charge of your own health.
We'll see you next time.